true.
I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It is April 4th. April 4th? That was yesterday. It could be today, too. But anyway, today's April 5th. It's a Friday, 2024, or whatever day we want to make it up, because obviously it doesn't really matter, does it? The sad part of it is that we continue to see this this control mechanism globally, and we all just seem to take it as, well, normal. It's fine. We're doing everything normal here, folks. Ken, good to see you. Thank you so much for being a part of the show already. Thank you for checking in. And we do have ourselves a bit of an identity problem with a lot of our politicians. And I tell you, I did get to watch the live presser with Uncle Joe. And it was bad. Entertainer here. I get that there are some things that, hey, Edward, good to see you. Thank you for so much being here. Lindsay, good to see you as well. I know I'm not looking for the entertainer, right? I'm not looking for a tap dance, a lot of like what we would get with Uncle Bill or Uncle Barry. You know, Aunt Hillary, she wasn't too big into the I waited for the show. so good to see you, Ken. Aunt Hillary, she never really, you know, got into the whole, you know, dancing chicken on a hot plate. But again, we just seem to miss what we used to have, which was Trump just telling us exactly what was going on, and then we were able to deal with that and move forward. This whole thing is a, I guess what we're trying to say, what I'm trying to say is that we've got Anthony Blinken saying that there's going to be war. We've already moved European troops to the eastern side of Europe. Russia's moved their stuff. I've got a guy who's sitting in Baltimore and has the bridge collapse in the screen. But I want to ask you a couple of things here. When you would watch the video, I'm just saying that there is, John says, I'm traveling, so I may lose signal. All right, well, stay with us as long as you can, buddy. We'll hold a spot for you. And look at you guys all saying hi to each other. This is fantastic. This is how we do this, guys. Thank you so much. Anyway, so let's go back to, I don't know why this just cuts out of me all the time. Just stay on cue here, you stupid thing. All right. Well, let me do this. I'll see if I can pull this up real quick and see if I can show you some of the, Where did it go? Oh, here we go. I want to show you this bridge presser here, and I don't know where this is going to take me, so you got to give me a second here. I'm going to press start and see if this what this does here. This is from the Hill, and I just come on. This thing is giving me the donut of death here.
To lose.
Okay, here we go. All right, this is what I wanted to show you. Let's see if we can get a little bit of better view of pulling back. The only thing it's going to give you is a little bit of this little screen in the very front. Oh, it looks like they did change the view a little bit. Okay, so it's right there. Okay. Now, I'm going to show this to you guys, and I know, give me just a second here. This gentleman is the, he's the leader of the free world, right? This is what we're going to say he's the leader of. And I want you guys to see something here just for a second here. Now, this, when I watched the Pete Buttigieg part of this, now see the presidential seal? First of all, it's not level. It's actually crooked. But you see this little black wall right here in front of here? This little black wall right here? I don't know if I can go back and find the actual pullback view of this when this is just like a little 4 foot black curtain wall, but they're in a park. They're like in a grassy knoll effect here. They're in a grassy area with a tree off to what you would, when you're looking at that picture, it would be off to the left. So off to this, where this Indian or Pakistani lady is here, over past the left of her, there's a tree there. But in the back, obviously in the back, you can see that that is the bridge back there. And this is the part where I have a problem with the optics of this. I don't like it. I don't like what I see here. Let me give you guys, see the bridge in the back there? See, that's the concrete roadway going up to the back of Joey's head there. And then you can see the everything in the back all collapsed. Now, this is all going to make more sense here in a second. I'm sure it will. Let me just give me a second here. I watched Pete Buttigieg get up there, and they had it pulled back, and then he said his piece, and then there was like a half an hour, and I literally sat on C-SPAN waiting for this to happen, and I sat there and watched and waited and watched and waited. I was playing solitaire. I've actually gotten back to this old school card. Just I use hard card. Not my phone. I don't use a solitaire app on my phone. I'm just using solitaire. So I'm sitting there playing solitaire, and I'm waiting for this to come up. Well, anyway, finally it comes up, and this guy walks out, and this is the guy right here. This black guy to your right here. Look how intently he's staring at Joe. Like he's looking down through, like he's looking through the keyhole of his ear there. He's like looking for the lady on the other side saying, hey, I could see it through the president's brain. I could see you over there. And anyway, so he stood there very diligently, stood there like he was just, you know, trying to play like he was super intent on every single thing that man was saying. And I don't know. I just wasn't that. I wasn't that thrilled by what I was seeing here. But anyway, so that gentleman gets up there, and then Joe goes on, and he gets to doing his ranting and not ranting or just whatever. He's going through his stuff, and I wasn't that impressed. And I was listening to him, and he's like, "We're gonna pay for this, right?" Right, guys? Right? We got the best legislators in the Congress are here, and we're going to get this done today. We're going to make sure that we are going to pay for this. And he kept saying, we, the federal government. He kept repeating himself. And so to me, I'm like, why are you continually saying over and over again, we are going to pay for this, right, guys? We're going to find the money, right, guys? And thank you, John Candy, for being on Cloud Hub. Thank you so much for being there, sir. I appreciate it. So he looks at the legislators. We're going to find the money for that, right? We're paying for this whole thing, including we're going to pay for more grants and businesses, and we're going to give more handouts to businesses to stay in, right, guys? Isn't that what we're going to do, right, guys? It was really kind of unhinged in a lot of ways, and I wasn't myself feeling it. I didn't like the way it felt like it was a shakedown. I don't like the way that he was saying it out loud so that everybody, I'm still showing up, even though, Lindsay, come on now. Don't be like that. Anyway, so the idea that he just kept looking at these guys going, we're going to pay for this, right, guys? We're going to find the money for this, right, guys? So he's already made commitments to rebuild this bridge, do all these things, give all this money to all these companies. And then the thing is, he listed off Amazon, all these others. I mean, he was listing off all the stuff that was like, this is not part of the deal. So this is, I just didn't like it. Let's go ahead. This is 11 minutes. I want you guys to experience this. And, I really think it's necessary to you guys to listen to this excruciating, stuff that we are being put through as normal and what we're supposed to accept as normal. So here we go. We're going to show you this real quick, guys. I just want you guys to hear this.
The 46th president of the United States of America.
He's so happy.
President Joe Biden.
That guy's got tingles.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please, please, thank you.
Oh, please, please. Hold your claps down. Oh, thank you, thank you. You guys are just overwhelming me.
By the way, folks, I say to my dad, Dad, they're mispronouncing Balmer. My dad and the Biden, please sit down. The Biden family goes all the way back to being watermen in this bay for a long, long time, back in the mid-1800s. And my father was born and raised here in Baltimore. And there's a strong, strong connection. Still have family in the region as well. Governor Moore, Senator Cardin, Senator Van Hollen, Congressman Fumi, Mayor Scott, County Executive Johnny O. I like that. Johnny O, ho, ho. To all the military members and first responders, and most importantly, the people of Maryland, I'm here to say your nation has your back, and I mean it. Your nation has your back. And you've got, without exaggeration, one of the finest delegations in the Congress of any state in the Union, and they know how to get things done, and we're going to get this paid for, aren't we?
See, right there.
All right.
Right there.
I was just briefed by the Unified Command about the ongoing impact of this tragic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge last Tuesday. The damage is devastating, and our hearts are still breaking. Eight construction workers went to the water.
Oh, listen to this.
The bridge fell.
Wait. Hold on a second. Now, he's going to talk about the individuals working on the bridge. Now, listen to this, guys. So he referenced this. This is a, I guess I exaggerated a little bit on his going on about we're going to pay for this bridge. But the problem with it is me, it just seemed like he was repeating himself over and over again. But then he goes on and he's going to describe the immigrants that died on the bridge and how that they, those immigrants, and he's going to talk about Carlos who sent a text to his girlfriend saying, we've poured the concrete, now we're waiting for it to dry. Anyway, I don't know, guys. This whole thing is a nightmare for me. I'm living it with you guys. So let's keep going here.
Lives. Most were immigrants, but all were Marylanders. Hardworking, strong, and selfless. After pulling a night shift fixing potholes, they were on a break when the ship struck. Just seconds before, one of the men named Carlos, who was only 24, left a message for his girlfriend. Here's what it said. We just poured cement. We're waiting for it to dry, he said. Well, to all the families and loved ones who are grieving, I've come here to grieve with you. We all are. It's not the same, but I know a little bit about what it's like to lose a piece of your soul.
Here we go.
To get that phone call in the middle of the night to say family members are gone. I've been there. It's feeling like having a black hole in your chest, like you're being sucked in, unable to breathe. The anger, the pain, the depth of the loss is so profound. And we know it's hard to believe, and you're probably not going to believe me, but I can tell you now from personal experience, the day is going to come when the memory of your loved one as you walk by that park.
All right, well, that's enough for me. I can't do it. Now, guys, if you notice what he was talking about and how he made it a thing to make sure that you guys understood that it was migrants, okay, immigrants that were working on this. And again, this is a situation where we continue to go down this path where we let them misuse information, misuse words, and you don't call them out for it. Now, I'm not trying to lecture you. Doug, good to see you, Doug Cobb over on X. Thank you so much for being a part of the show again today. And I'm just saying here that when these people go out there like this, this is them using a word like spells. They're spelling something. There is a spell. Terrence, thank you so much for your being here. He goes, that is not Joe. I agree with you. I really do agree with you. People want to say that this is all part of the deal. This is everything's acceptable. This and that and everything. Again, I'm not sure if you guys are paying attention, but if they get to use their words, if they get to use their spells against you, if they get to be this way, they're never going to stop. And then they get their way because they are the ones who put the words out first. They're the ones who wrote it down first. They're the ones who got to say what they wanted to be. Susie, we pay and pay for disasters they create. It's a cycle back to Biden's pocket, and it cycles back to Biden's pocket. Blah, 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 more lies. Susie, I am absolutely a fan of yours. That's exactly right. That's exactly what we are living in. We are living in this money cycle where everything goes back to them and they get to profit off of us. And again, that's not how this should be, right? We should all be saying, no, that's not going to work that way. These guys should be going broke being in office. I almost really believe that that's how we should think of this and never, ever think of it in a way that it's a way of, oh, I'm elevating myself. I become more rich here because, you know, I'm just such a great businessman. I'm putting the country trillions of dollars in debt, but I'm becoming a multi-millionaire. And, you know, that's just how it works. Guys, call them out on the words that they use. Call them out on Joe calling it the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I don't like him using those words. I don't think Francis Scott Key deserves that kind of behavior from him. I don't think Francis Scott Key's words or name should come out of that man's mouth. I think he's a tool. I think he's a player. I think he's somebody other than what we believe or have been told that he is. But as long as we continue to put energy into Joe's your president, or Joe's going to win the election, that's where the energy is going to go, and that's what's going to be your future. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you here? We've got people out there that are talking about this bridge and these things that they're going to do, and yet at the same time, there are countless ways that they are actually using this as a way of continuing their propaganda, their message forward, their ability to do things. And guys, it's real. This is how they do it. This is those little things. They go out there, they make this speech where millions of people watch this, and it's being imprinted into those millions of people, and then those millions of people go out and reverberate it, and they put mental thought in behind it, and here we are. Now, I'm using this as a counter to it. I wanted you to listen to what he was saying, and I wanted you to hear what I was saying, because it's important. And I want you to see the idea, this little black curtain that was up there, you know, where the podium was standing, this other guy gets up, and then he's talking, and then, you know, Buttigieg, he had been out there already earlier that day, and then this guy gets up and introduces himself and introduces the 46th president. Now, listen to me, folks. Until Trump started using 45, or we started using 45 as a way of chanting for Trump, well, then now they're going to use that as one of their tools. Because we gave them something that works, they're going to use it. So now they're going to call him 46. Guys, this is them taking over your power and using it for their will. When I talk about these things, I don't think you guys understand. When people say, well, don't say things, oh, don't jinx me, don't do this. That is absolutely how it works. John Candy says the applause was just stupid and fake. Well, absolutely. But it gives it resonance. It gives it that, whoo, that spin, right? It gives it gravity. That's why when we see something, we should celebrate it. When we see something, we should say something about it. When we know there's something wrong, we call it out and fix it with the right narrative. That is what this is about, this whole thing, every bit of this. Now, Blinken's out there saying that we're getting ready to go to war. And because he thinks that that's what he wants to say, it's not really what he wants to say, it's what he wants. I'm not saying this because I'm trying to prepare you for this. He's saying he's wanting this because it's necessary. United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken has recently made some extremely provocative statements regarding the U.S. The U.S., the Russia-Ukraine war. Besides the U.S. unwavering support, I don't know where I was ever wavering. I don't know when I ever waved. I don't know when I was unwavering. I guys, if anything, I am waving. I am waving. I waved away. I'm gone, D. I'm out. So I've always been against the Ukraine war. Also, by the way, understand that there is going to be I just lost my complete thought there. As we're going through this with this Ukraine war, there's going to be coming a problem with Israel. And everybody is now, remember when Q put out the post, save Israel for last? Guys, I think that that is something absolutely, something real to that. I think there's something there. But anyway, I have not, my support is completely waving of Ukraine, so I don't know what it is. But again, we're missing the $300 billion we've given to Ukraine. This record here says $44 billion. We've only given them $44 billion just this year, and it's only April. We haven't even begun to start. So anyway, let's go on here. Let's see. John Kennedy says Blinken. What a stupid name. Now, don't pick on their names. Pick on their actions. I'll let you pick on their actions. All right. So it goes. Let's see here. That was it. That was the entire headline of this. That was all they were going to do. And what implications does it hold for the global geopolitical order? This is a problem for us, guys. When Anthony Blinken is out there saying that he wants war and that we need to prepare for this, it doesn't make a lot of sense, guys, other than that this is what they really want. There's no one going to go out there and talk about things unless they really want them to happen. I want 1,100 square miles of property. I want a ranch that's 1,100 square miles. I want my house to be in pretty much in the middle of it, and I want to be able to see you coming for a long time. I don't care. I don't know what that means for me and dollars and all that other stuff, but those are things I want. So do you see how me saying that, it's like, oh, Jim wants 11,000 square miles of property so that he can have, you know, go in and create the microbiome and get the regenerative things going on in the land. And I want to plant trees by the millions, and I want to go in and just change an entire area. And that's what I want. Well, Jim, that's a great idea. That's good that you're putting that out there. Now, how can you celebrate me putting that out there saying that's a great idea? But yet when they say they want Ukraine to join NATO, which is the North American treaty, North American, I don't know how Ukraine can be in North America. I mean, again, I just want to make sure that I'm not getting this wrong, but let me check real quick. Let me make sure I understand. NATO. Let's see what it says here. NATO. Let's see. NATO. Let's see. It's a political and military alliance of 30 European and North American countries. But I thought NATO was North American. I thought that's what we were doing. I thought that's how that worked. I didn't realize that we were doing 30 European countries. I thought NATO was actually brought together so that we could get rid of Russia. So again, this is where we don't seem to really have, we're not using the right words, we're not talking the right way, we're not saying it the way we should, and this is how they got us. Stock up on food for Monday, says Terrence. Steve says you should have told Vlad you were against him invading Ukraine. Here's the problem, Stephen. Ukraine is actually Russia's Bethlehem. And so if you guys watch the Tucker Carlson interview at all, that was really what he was talking about when he referred to all the different things going on in the history of Russia and how we got in there, how they got separated from the USSR, the Soviet Union, the Soviet bloc, whatever you want to call it. Ukraine has always been the keystone for Russia. That's always been where everybody, 95% of everybody in Ukraine speaks Russian. 95% of everybody in Ukraine considers themselves to be Russian. But yet, at the same time, we can't have that conversation because the narrative of them saying out loud, oh, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Thanks, Vince. Appreciate that. I thought it was North America Treaty Organization. North Atlantic. Okay, well, Russia's in North... I thought, let's see, North Atlantic. So, because Russia's on the other side on the Pacific. So I guess we call that North Pacific. Okay, I get it now. I don't like it. I think it sounds dumb. But anyway, this whole thing with what we do with our words, that's where we get things screwed up. And I apologize. I thought we were doing North American treaty, but I guess that's just me being an American and having my head up my butt all the time, thinking I understand history. But I do believe that we have to get better at this, and that's how we do it, right? We talk about what we did wrong. I said North American, it's North Atlantic. All right, let's do that. Let's go with the North Atlantic, and I still think the whole thing is BS, and it sucks, and it's crazy. They're letting Ukraine into NATO against Putin's wishes, and Iran is retaliating in 24 hours. So this is, again, if you guys didn't hear about this, we are going to, Iran is called to war for Israel. So Iran is going to go ahead and travel over two countries to go over and kick, Israel's butt. So just, look forward to that. That'll be fine. It won't be a bad deal at all. That'll end well, won't it? But again, this goes back to, sorry about the North American trade. I deployed in three times under NATO. Oh, well, Vince Braun, you're a wealth of information. Thank you for that, buddy. And by the way, it's been 6 years. 6 years, I don't know if that's enough time served or not, Vince, but you be the judge. All right, anyway, let's see here. John Candy says, we the people, allowing less than 1% to rule all of us in their sneaky, converted, total corrupt ways. We are duped. We're dupes to allow this to continue. We who are awake, total, way more than their 1%. Oh, John Kennedy, you're absolutely correct on that. But again, we have got to stand up and open our mouth and keep moving forward. Multi-generational homesteading is the future. Well, Ken, that's kind of where the 11,000 square miles is that you put all that into a trust and you get it away from the government and get yourself into a land deal where you can actually just have an estate that never gets sold or rotated over and your family gets to enjoy those. But they're trying to drive our wealth down. They're trying to drive our cost of living up so that we are weaker. See, guys, they're weakening us over time. That's what this economy thing is about. And by the way, if you guys think that we are going to, if Trump comes through, I think that we will probably find ourselves, I don't think they're going to let him in. Guys, I don't think they're going to let him in. Steven says 95% of Ukraine does not speak Russian, nor do they support Putin. All right, Steven. Well, we disagree. So I apologize for not agreeing with you on that, but I completely disagree. I would go back and I would look into some things that I have been talking about over the past few years about this. Ukraine is absolutely, the narrative coming out of there is absolutely tainted. And we have not been given good information about what Ukraine really is. We do know the bio labs are in there. We do know that the Khazarian Mafia is the one that is actually fighting. We do know that they are throwing bodies at this because they're trying to maintain their control of corruption. If you go back to the original interview with Tucker and Putin, he said, I am not fighting Ukraine to take over Ukraine. I'm fighting the Nazis in Ukraine. So if we all listen to what Putin said about the Nazis and we understand what Nazis are and how the Nazis won the Second World War and why they are still so prolific in our world, we'll understand what's going on there. Now, I don't think Putin is the bad guy in this whole thing. I really don't. Again, like the Nord Stream pipeline, have we forgot about that little debacle where we blew that up? And we actually have evidence that we've done that and it's actually out there. But yet we don't want to talk about that because that means we'd have to take responsibility for our bad actions globally, trying to blame that on Russia, just like the Russian dossier. Russia, Russia, Russia. This is the dog whistle for all the wrong people. And we don't need to listen to the dog whistle called Russia. We need to look at ourselves and say, okay, maybe, just maybe, we need to think about this completely different. And that's the problem for us. We have been caught up in so much of these things that we can't even pull ourselves back emotionally because we believe that we as Americans have to save Israel. Israel is probably one of the most wealthy countries on earth. They don't need our money. but we're giving them billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars in this last spending bill. Again, we gave $40 billion in the last spending bill, $44 billion. That went in the last spending bill to Ukraine. And then we spent money to Taiwan, and we sent money to Israel. Israel's number one export is diamonds. Why are we in there? Again, I understand that Jewish people, again, so don't, I'm not stepping on anybody's grave. I understand Jewish people live in Israel. I also understand that Jewish people live in America. I understand that Jewish people live in Russia. I understand people of Jewish descent live in Russia and in America. So my problem is that Israel isn't the only place that Jewish people are. Now, are we talking about Jewish descent? Or are we talking about the Jewish religion? Or are we talking about Israelites, the people that are from Israel, the country? Or are we talking about the canal that's going up from the bottom of Israel right up to the Gaza Strip, north end of Gaza Strip? Guys, again, this is where I don't understand when we have to get so confused about the shipping port that's going being put in that we announced just a month or so ago that Uncle Joe came out and then the State of the Union, was it a month ago we had the State of the Union, came out and said, oh, we're putting in this brand new emergency seaport. Well, why is it an emergency? Why do we need a seaport there? Oh, for humanitarian reasons. Oh, you mean Israel doesn't have a seaport of their own? They have no way of bringing in goods from the ocean? Are you sure about that? See, the problem with this is we're putting that in there because we're one-third owner of the Israel canal that is going in. So again, this is where we continue to have these problems with each other over and over and over again. We don't understand that there's a canal being built, a rock-bottom canal that they're chiseling out of the earth that will never have to be maintained. It'll be a two-way canal, that they're walking away from the Suez Canal, which is a one-way canal. Every 12 hours, it changes direction. But again, this is where Israel is getting ready to have a fight with Iran. Why? What was Iran doing with it? Well, no, Iran and America. Jews don't like Muslims, and Jews don't like Christians, and Muslims don't like Christians, and Muslims don't like Jews. But we're the only ones saying, hey, everybody, we only hate the Muslims, so we're going to help the Jews. We don't look like we know what we're talking about. We don't have our heads screwed on straight here. And Iran is coming in only because we've been provoking Iran because we went, what? Oh, but hey, Iran, we just gave you $8 billion or released to whatever it was, the billions of dollars we had frozen. You guys got all that money. But then Hamas has gotten, by the way, the last spending bill, Hamas got money from us. How is that possible? See, again, this is where I don't think we all get all the chips on the table. We don't know what the cards are. We're playing with 3 or 4 or 5, 29 decks, and there's an Uno card in the middle of it. We don't understand the full breadth of all this because it is so fragmented. It is so meant for discourse that this is why it feels this way. It never feels good. It doesn't feel like we know what we're talking about or what we're doing. And that's the sad part of this. We got Anthony Blinken saying that Ukraine's going to come into NATO. Why? Why? Why do we need them in NATO? Why do we need NATO at all? Why do we need the UN at all? We're the only one supplying soldiers, equipment, and money. If you look at the lion's share of where all the UN money and where all the NATO money comes from, it's us. So we can go over and fight more wars for them? For who? If we didn't give as much foreign aid to most of these countries, they would just cease to exist. Most of the countries that we're giving foreign aid to is literally their entire budget, American money. Why? Because we've been paying off our friends. We've been paying off all the people we go and take a turd on all the time. We've been paying off all these people because this is what we do. Because we can't just go out there and just be the right people. We got to go out there and stir up crap all the time. Why do we need discourse? Why do we need war? Why do we need these things? We don't. There's no reason for any of it. Vince says they have the best trained fighters. Fighter pilots. Absolutely. Could it be Israel's getting ready to fight to get the Muslims out of there so they can sacrifice the red heifers and build the third temple? Well, you know, that's a pretty deep question there, Ken. The whole red heifer thing, if you actually look into what they're talking about and how that there is actually a Muslim mosque on top of where the new temple is supposed to be built. Guys, this is going to get hairier before it's going to get better. And if this is the path that we're going down, the red heifer thing, I have a little bit of a problem with the red heifer thing. I have a little bit of a problem with the wars that we're doing. I think they're using biblical references to create the necessity for war and so that you guys will believe that this is the end times and we're all celebrating. But if you actually understand the chronological order of things, some of it's out of order, guys. Some of it's out of order, and I think we're willing too much of it to be real. We want it to be real. We want this to be a thing. We want there to be the red heifers. We want there to be the temple. We want to be the Antichrist. We want all this stuff. And again, I'm not going to be the fool, even though the Bible says this. The fool says, you know, you don't know when I'm coming back. You don't know when I'm coming back. So don't even attempt to act like you know. All right. See, again, this is where we want things. Ken says they have the three heifers ready, and they have the altar set up. Here's the thing. Ken, I don't think these are the three heifers, and I don't think this is a thing, and I don't care if they sacrifice these tomorrow or on Monday or whenever. I don't think it means a dang thing. I don't think this is the moment. I really don't, because there's a lot of things that still have to happen prior, and those things haven't happened. I don't want to get into the biblical reference of it because the problem is we got so many of these things. No pun intended, Jim. Harrier aircraft. Edward, thank you for that. I just look at what we're doing here, and I'm worried that we have this eclipse coming on Monday, and everybody is so bound and determined that this has got to be it. This has got to be the moment. This is going to be this is when it's all going to happen. Guys, let me do this with you. All right, let me pull back for a second. Let me pull back. Have you done everything that you were supposed to do in the way that you were supposed to do it according to your life with Christ? Have you actually gone out and done the testimonies and found the people to go out and testify to and bring those to Christ and done all the things if you're including, you know, throwing off these things of the world and the trappings of the world? Have you given everything to the church? Have you sacrificed your life? Have you sacrificed your being? Have you sacrificed all of your income? Have you given your all to Jesus? Have you gone out and done to apostatize other people, meaning that you educate them so that they go out and repeat the message to others as well? Have you found yourself out there doing the right thing according to what Christ has told you and the church has told you? If you haven't been to your local Baptist church lately, then obviously you're going to hell and you cannot be expecting the end times to be good for you. See, my problem is, folks, is if you really want this to be the end times, are you sure that you're ready for the end times? Have you actually really understood what the book of Revelation is really about? Because there's not one damn part of it that will make you want it to be here. Other than the fact that you want to commit suicide, you're saying that, hey, Jesus, come back so I can end my life. Hey, Jesus, hurry, get back so my life ends, because I can't live this life anymore. Are you suicidal that way? That you want this to end? Because the problem is if this is what's going to happen, this whole earth turns into scorched earth. Things are not going to be good. They're going to be completely unhinged. And these are the problems with it. You actually go in and start looking at a lot of these things that are in the Bible. We infer too much into it. When you infer, I'm talking about you are trying to put your will into those things. So when you think about what is getting ready to happen, when you see what's going to come down the pike, are you sure that you're ready for this? Because if you are not one that has their heart right and you get left behind, then what? See, we can all talk about the mark of the beast. We can all talk about 666. And again, the reference to 666 is not accurate in the Bible. It does not reference to Satan. And the problem is that actually Satan is actually not even in the Bible the way we reference to Satan all the time. See, again, when you go back to the original Aramaic and the original Hebrew translations, and you go back to the Council of Nicaea, and you go back and you look at all these things, and you start seeing how man has touched so much of this, my worry, guys, is that we are touching it again with putting too much of us into it. We're putting too much of us into those things. So the Ken references Revelation says death will leave the earth. People will look for death, but will not find it. Well, yeah, because the conditions will be so horrific that death would be sweeter than the conditions on earth. Are you guys ready for that? I mean, you guys are, we keep talking about Monday is this eclipse thing in America, and it's not happening anywhere else on earth except for this little section across from the Baja of California or Baja of Mexico up through Maine. And we're all over here going, hey, it's time, it's all time. Let's get our bags packed. Terrence Williams says the Book of Enoch was kept out of the Bible. Well, so was the Book of Eden. So were 300 other books. In just the last 300 years or 200 years, or 77 books have been removed from the Bible as well. And then my problem is, guys, is if I can sit here and say all these things, but we can't have the honest conversation about the fact that our government that you're paying for is getting ready to put you into a war that's going to make you so impoverished, you're going to wish Jesus came back and it was hell on earth, because it would be a hell of a lot easier than what they're getting ready to put you through. Did you just listen to what I just said? Did you listen to me? See, be careful what you wish for. Because, yeah, Jesus comes back, people can't die even when they want to die. People can't get off of this earth because death will be taken away. Oh, wow. So my problem is again, we have so much in front of us. But I'm going to ask you again, do you have your heart in the right place? Are you thinking of yourself, or are you thinking of others? Are you living life in a selfless point of view, or are you worrying about the red heifers when you don't even have your own life right? See, if we want to get real biblical and we want to get all down into it, I know that where my relationship is with my Creator is my responsibility, and that is my biggest and greatest responsibility is Source. But if my relationship with Source isn't accurate, if I'm not actually doing what the Bible says, then why would you ever use the Bible as a reference for next week, for the red heifer, for the eclipse, for the wars? See, when we go around and we start throwing little rocks in our glass houses, then we've got ourselves a hypocritical problem here. Guys, I know I'm not ready for any of that. I'm not ready for red heifers and rebuilding temples and all this groovy stuff that's in the book of Revelations, because I still got a lot of work to do on me. And I'm still trying to do what I can for the world around me, and I'm trying to give as much as I can. But have you? Have you spent today working on you? Have you spent yesterday or the last month or the last year or the last 10 years or your entire life working on yourself to be better every day than the day before? When we talk about these things, when we talk about how there's so much in front of us that we're like, yeah, woo-hoo! Guys, I wrote in that poem in 2020, when freedom calls your name and when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, what will you say? Did you stand up for those who could not stand up for themselves? Did you stand up for freedoms and liberties for those who could not stand up for themselves, who could not speak for themselves? Did you do that? See, guys, I may not use the word God and Jesus and Bible and church, but every single principle that I talk to you about, selflessness over selfishness, that's biblical. When I talk about doing more for others than you expect in return, that's biblical. When I say give as much as you can, then yes, I am saying that is what is biblical. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, I'm out here talking about how we should be working on that, how I am working on me. And you guys know that this is my livelihood. This is how I do it. And I'm out here trying to make sure that we all hear a reason to be positive and to be amazing and to know the world is going to be great. But are you supporting that movement? Are you supporting that message with your dollars, with your time, buying a t-shirt from thejimpriceshow.com, buying mushrooms, buying My Daily Naturals? Vince, have you started your cayenne pepper regimen? You ought to talk to John Rader. He knows all about that, and he will tell you all about what it did for him. And I'll tell you what it's done for me as well. But what I keep pointing out to you guys is that we keep referencing things as if tomorrow's it. If tomorrow's it, then why are you wearing pants? If tomorrow's it, why is there $1 in your checking account? If Monday the eclipse and the world ends, then why are you not having sex with whoever it was you wanted sex with? Or why are you not on your knees praying that Jesus saves as many people before that eclipse happens and all the world falls off the hinges? Why are you not on your knees to the point where your knees are so sore you can't get on your knees anymore? If you really want to tell me that you're so ready for revelations to be prophetic in this time, in this moment, then show me in your actions. Show me in how you are making sure that this message is going forward. Show me how you're supporting your local church, your local pastor, your local youth group. See, be careful. Be careful how we go out there and we say that we're doing so much and we are so amazing and Jesus is coming back and the rapture is going to happen and the red heifers are here and now, yeah, this and that. Blah, 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 blah. I'm already at the last word of the Revelation book. Boom! I'm done. I get it. I win. Because, guys, if you know Revelations, you will be terrified and you won't want to be present for any of it. That's a fact. If you understand those things, then you should be terrified of the coming days. But my hope and my faith is not in myself or in other men, but in my Creator. And if you don't start using the words the way they were meant, and you don't start putting positives out there, then yes, though this will be a hell on earth that you created for yourself. And if you don't think you can create things, then why do people say, well, don't jinx me? Well, don't say that. Oh, you know, hey, I'm trying to keep a positive mood. I'm trying to keep moving in a positive direction. See, too many times, folks, that we get ourselves all caught up and getting all churchy about what we have to say. And I will tell you right now, at the end of the day, you know, don't go churching it up too much there, Joe Dirt. Don't get yourself too holy. Because I know a lot of people, I was a youth pastor in the 90s for 2.5 years. I didn't cuss for 10 years of my life. I was a vegan for 7 years during the 90s. I was living the life. And I will tell you right now that I am ashamed of the things that I was doing because I have to work so hard on me. And I got to work on this ego and I make sure my ego stays in check and I'm working on getting rid of old generational cyclical curses and patterns. Well, my dad lost his hair, so I lost my hair. No, you eat the same crappy stuff that your dad ate, and you both lost your hair because you're toxic. This is a time for us to look at the world around us, and we can be amazing and do amazing things and be wonderful to each other. And in this time, we can learn that there are so many lies that I have to understand that my existence may even be a lie as well. My understanding of the reality around me may be a lie and probably is a lie. Well, yeah, it is a lie. Because the problem is, guys, I said there's so many things that we have hung our hat on that we thought were so important and they mean nothing. Because they don't bring us together. They don't bring us happiness. They don't bring us community. They don't make the future a brighter place. So guys, if you want to believe that Monday is the, you know, we're going to kill the red heifers and the eclipse in America is going to make a difference in Israel and, oh, Jesus is coming back and all that other stuff. All right. Show me in your life right now. It's Friday, April 5th. Show me where your knees are blistered and raw and they're like bed sores. You can't get the wounds to heal because you're constantly at prayer and you have given away all your worldly possessions to the church and you are in servitude of your fellow man in every way possible, because that's that we're going to go with that's biblical. Because if I can infer into things, if you can infer into things, and then this person infers into things, and by the way, all these inferences is how we've got to where we are so confused. Queen Elizabeth, the Puritan, used to go around and execute people if they did not proclaim the name of Jesus upon request. They were executed on sight. The Puritan movement was horrible. It was horrific. And yes, there were things changed in the Bible at that time. But we can't have that honest conversation. And my problem is that this is how we do it. This is where we get divided. Lindsay says, God doesn't care about cussing. He cares about Karen. Well, I don't know which Karen you're talking about. Are you talking about Karen that comes on the show? I'm just kidding you. No, that's absolutely right. We have to think of this as, where does the first place that speech suppression and thought suppression comes from? The church. Speech suppression and thought suppression. Well, if you think about a woman's boobs, oh, you're sinning. And if you say boobs in front of another man and he thinks of boobs, you're making him sin, so you're accountable for his sins. So my problem is, guys, is that when we're told that there's a list of words we can't use, but they're never referenced in the Bible of a list of words not to use, and in fact, that's a form of liberty, infringing on liberty. But my problem is that when we judge other people, we judge other things, and we look at these things and we say, oh, I can't be around that person. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, because they're not Christian enough, or they're not this, or they're not that. See, guys, this is the problem. We got used to being able to judge everybody because we found out that there were words we can't use in church, but yet the word ass is in the Bible. But yet we can't use the word asshole. So if I'm referring to an ass, that donkey goes through that hole over there in the building, and I said, that ass walks through the hole, that makes that the asshole. Well, am I the asshole for saying that was the asshole, the hole that goes in the building right there, that doorway? But again, we have to be careful because, yes, like John Kennedy just said, it's all man-made up crap. We find ourselves getting wrapped around the wrong things and fighting amongst ourselves when we know that we should be fighting them and not us. We should not be fighting each other. We should be fighting the enemy that's outside of us. Fighting those people that fighting those people that we cannot usually see, but we have to fight the message. We have to fight the energy. That is our job. That is our responsibility. You guys get up and start moving, because living on your knees in prayer isn't accurate according to the Bible. It actually means, it says for you to pick up the sword and understand what righteous indignation means and understand what turning the other cheek means. Because actually the real definition of those things will blow your mind. The weak and the weary don't inherit the earth. The meek does. The meek, the strong, those that can execute and take lives, those that have the ability of discernment, that was what meek means. It's a sign of strength, great strength, and that does not take a life unless warranted. That's the meek that shall inherit the earth. And are you being meek? Are you being weak? That is your question for you. That is not my question that you have to answer to me. You answer it to yourself. Be mindful of the world around you, because there's a lot of pressures out there for you to bend the knee to the wrong things. And then when you do that, you find yourself being weak, and then you find yourself being manipulated by the wrong people. All right, guys, thank you so much for everything. It's been great today. Got a little on the different subjects. Didn't really talk about everything I wanted to go off today, but hey, it was a good show anyway. So thank you guys all for the great comments and the interactions with each other. It's awesome to see you guys talking back and forth on the comments. Thank you so much for everything you guys are doing out there. And Douglas Cobb, thank you for being over on Twitter with your great comments there. And Vince Braun, John Kennedy, Lindsay, Steven, I still love you, buddy. Don't go anywhere. Edward, who else do we have there? Terrence Williams was out there. And John Rader, hey, he's kind of going in and out of service. He said he would be listening. And let's see who else. Hey guys, reach out to Steve. Don't let him run away. He's a good guy. So I appreciate his candor and his ability to talk to us. Don't want him leaving the Jim Price Show. All right, guys, remember the 10% we do for the neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government. The more you do for them, the less they have to do for you. Learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. There will be a far, far better place. Remember, hold the line, hold fast, do not give up, do not give in, we will win. I promise, I don't make promise I can't keep. Guys, you've always been the answer out there. Remember, the Constitution limits the government, but never limits you. It takes two parties to represent the government, represent a contract. Our contract is the Constitution with our government, and we have to stand up, and we have to serve them with that contract and enforce the contract, because they are the lazy party. They are the party who has infringed and has broken the contract. We have to hold that contract up and say, listen, you are held accountable for these things. All right, guys, thank you so much for everything you guys are doing out there. It's been fantastic seeing you guys. Have a great weekend to all the Patriots here and everywhere. John Kennedy, thank you for the great comments on that. It's awesome having you a part of the show as well. All right, guys, let's see. I don't know what's going on this weekend. Got some eclipse thing going on Monday. You know, it's going to be about 100 miles or so south of here. Woo! Anyway. All right, guys. Hey, and if it happens, it happens. What do you want me to do? I got to make sure I'm worried about me inside of here, right? So anyway, guys, thank you so much for all your great comments. Any questions or comments for me, get back to me, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. You guys will be good to each other out there, and I'll see you guys on Monday. Bye-bye.